Judges 14, Hebrews chapter 12 is a familiar verse. We have preached on it many times, Hebrews 12, verse 1. And Judges chapter 14, I got a bloody Bible, amen. Literally bloody. When I was bleeding this morning, I got blood all over it, so I've had blood all over my Bibles before, but Hebrews chapter 12 and Judges chapter 14. And we'll read Hebrews chapter 12 first. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 says this, Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. And notice the sin, that's that one sin the Bible's talking about. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And it talks about a little bit about that one sin in your life that's worse than any other one. And you know what it is tonight. You know what you deal with. Maybe it's anger, maybe it's a prescription drug, and hopefully it's not pornography, but we've had that in the church. Maybe it's alcohol. I know two cases of people in the church that had alcohol problems that's been in this church. I mean, there's no telling what it might be. It may be laziness. It may be apathy. It may be depression. It may be discouraged. I don't know what it is, but you know what it is. And it's that one thing that can just easily beset us. And that word beset means to capture and take us down. And turn to Judges chapter 14. In Judges chapter 14 is the strongest man that ever lived. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Samson. Judges 14:1, and Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman of Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore give her for me to wife. And so then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, among all the people that that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. He was spoiled, wasn't he? Come down to verse 15. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they said to Samson's wife, well, we'll pick it up verse 12. Verse 12, and Samson said unto them, I will now put forth you a riddle unto you, if you can certainly declare it within me for 7 days of the feast, and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. But if you cannot declare it, then shall you give me 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle, and we may hear it. And that's a bad deal already. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, out of the strong came forth sweetness, and they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it came to pass the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee in thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it to my father nor my mother, and shall I tell it to thee? Verse 17, and she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted, and it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him, and she told the riddle to the children of her people. And the man of the city said unto him on the seventh day, when the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey, what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you had not found out my riddle. And I'm going to preach on plowing with my heifer tonight. Plowing with my heifer is what I'm going to preach about. And the word heifer, it means large, is what it means. It means it comes from the root word heavy, is what it means. It's that thing in your life that's close to you and it's large in your life. And you know, technically it's a female cow that's never had a calf, is what it means. I didn't know that until I worked on this message. But like many slang words in the Bible, through the years, a lot of guys will call their wife a heifer. I worked with a guy, Frank, you know. His wife worked there with us too. They were both big, really big. But he'd call his wife heifer. He'd get on the phone. He'd say, hey, yo, heifer, you ready to go? Guys, I don't recommend that. Your nose looks better right where it's at, Brother Zito. I don't think it'd be look good sitting over after Miss Karen slapped your nose over here. But that word heifer's been taken in through the years, and they got it from Samson. It comes out of the Bible. And you know, people use that heifer, and that heifer means this large part. And it means a heavy thing in your life. And that heifer's that thing in your life, brother, that can plow you and take you under and get you under your skin. It's that thing, it's like that besetting sin of Hebrews chapter 12. It's that thing that can push your button and get out of you, just like it happened to Samson. He said, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you'd have never found this out. You see, that heifer's that thing in your life, brother, that the devil knows, and his demons, they know, and your family might know, your wife might know, your spouse might know, and they know that's that thing that they can just kind of push on it, and they can get on your skin. That's that heifer, that's that thing in your life, brother, that's just large and just controls you sometimes. And I will preach about plowing with my heifer. I will give you a few things about plowing my heifer. I will say first of all about that heifer. I want to say that heifer, the first thing I'll say about it, it lacks conscience. It lacks conscience, that heifer in your life. The word conscience is found 32 times in a King James Bible. It's a Bible word. And the word conscience, it means that inner feeling of voice acting as a guide to the rightness or wrongness of one's behavior. It means an inhibiting sense of right and wrong. It's that thing God put in you. It's called a conscience. And that thing that's inside your being, it's in your soul, and it'll let you know what's right and what's wrong. You know, a lot of things in your life, you don't need a preacher telling you what to do. A lot of things in your life, you don't need to read a book on psychology to figure out what's going on. There's a lot of things in your life you don't have to watch Dr. Oz to figure out, is that okay? Because there's a lot of things in your life, and most of the things in your life, God put a conscience in you that'll tell you this is wrong. Amen. And sometimes you know what that conscience will do? It'll whisper to you something in your life. Maybe something small. And it'll whisper to you and say, that ain't right. Don't do that. And sometimes that old conscience, you know what it'll do? It'll scream at you, won't it? It'll scream, say, hey, dummy, don't do that, don't do it. But it's there. But I want to say that heifer in your life, it lacks conscience, see? See, there's a part of you that says something's right and it's something wrong. Take your Bible, turn over to John chapter 8 and get Romans chapter 2. God puts something in your life that's conscious, and it tells you instinctively, built inside of you, that something's right and it's wrong. They talk about somebody that has no conscience. They'll say, but guy's wicked as a devil, they have no conscience. The technical term for it, they call them a psychopath. A psychopath is somebody that has no remorse. They have no sorrow. That Nicholas Cruz that shot all those kids in school, he shot them, then he just casually walked over to Walmart to Subway and sat down and ate. And they said the whole time they talked to him and showed him pictures of those people killed, they said there was no remorse. No conscience! You know that heifer in your life? It lacks conscience. Look at John chapter 8, verse 7. Here the lady tucked in, you know, in adultery. And so in verse 7, and when they continued to ask him, he lifted him up himself and said to them, he that without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. And again he stepped down and wrote on the ground, watching, verse 8. And when they heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. By the way, that's the only time the word convict shows up in your Bible. It deals with the conscience. And they were convicted by their own conscience. See, there's something inside that tells you what's right and what's wrong instinctively. Amen. People know. Look at Romans chapter 2. There's that conscience that's built in you. It just inhibited. I've talked to people all the time, you know, and dealt with people. And they'll say sometime, well, preacher, I just know that's wrong. I just know that's wrong. I mean, we know it's wrong to steal. We know that. It's built inside of you is wrong. There's just, sir, we know it's wrong to kill. I mean, it's just built inside of you. And after a while, the Bible says over in the book of Timothy, it says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, their conscience is seared with a hot iron. That's a picture of the last days, by the way, 1 Timothy 4. Look at Romans 2:4-15. Romans 2:15 says, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. And that conscience is a part of you that knows right and wrong. And I want to say that heifer in you, that heifer, that besetting sin, it lacks a conscience. It has no sense of right and wrong. That heifer, it don't really care about your walk with the Lord. That heifer, that besetting sin, it don't really care about your testimony with the Lord. All it is interested in is plowing through you. They plow with my heifer. I've seen it happen many times. I had a good friend of mine in Bible school, Mike Jodeman. I told you about Mike. He had one eye, had his eye shot out in a BB gun. He is a real cowboy, Brother Chris. Grew up in Oklahoma. Great witness for the Lord. He's been pastoring the church for ever since Bible school. We've been out 30-something years. He went up there and pastored a church in Nebraska. He's got a brother pastors in Nebraska. He's got a dad pastors. Him and his brother went to PBI down there. And Mike was about the dumbest student we ever had down there. Seriously. And we had some dumb ones. We had them spelling Bible, B-I-B-U-L. For real. That was Nathan Bemis. And that's how he sings the B-I-B-L-E song right now when he was down there. You know, he sings B-I-B-U-L. And Mark, his brother, was one of the smartest guys we ever had down there. Mark was a genius. Mark was so smart on Bible stuff. And Dr. Ruppman knows King James better than anybody alive, probably. Dr. Ruppman would ask Mark questions about some of the translations. Brother Jodeman, what do you know about that? That's how smart he was. But old Mike, man, he was good with, he'd witness anybody. They were great with their dad was an old drunkard, got saved, and started pastoring the church, and I mean his family was all out for God. Mike drove a truck. Brother Hurley has a son that drives a truck. Brother Hurley's son went to Pensacola Christian, graduated down there with an engineering degree or a law degree or something?
Actually it was criminal justice.
Criminal justice, and he drives a truck.
Yeah.
Go figure that out. He loves driving a truck. Brother Hurley said he's wanted to do it all his life, to drive a truck. They said they found a letter in it when he was 10 years old a while back of what he wanted to do in life at 10 years old, and it was drive a truck. Went through school, now he's driving a truck. He said he makes good money doing what he's doing. But Mike Jodeman loved driving a truck. Mike Jodeman, the top of the line, Miss Samantha, in life was a truck driver. Doctors and lawyers were down here. Truck drivers were top of the line. I ran with him in a trailer. We had models of trucks all over the place. On the wall, he had pictures of trucks. I always wore an old cowboy hat and a cowboy shirt. Great witness for the Lord. He witnessed anybody. He didn't have any pride, man. He didn't care. But he was driving the truck one night. One night was after school. He was talking about, was outside church, standing around, a bunch of us talking. And he said this, Miss Carol. He said, I've never gotten a ticket. And he said, I never will get a driving ticket. This is true. I'm telling the truth. And one of the guys said, by the grace of God, you won't. And he wouldn't say it. He just said, well, I won't get one. I'm careful. I'm not going to drive. I'm not going to get a ticket. You know that week he got 6 driving tickets. I'm telling the truth. He lost his license, obviously, driving a truck. And that wasn't bad enough. See, you got to watch that heifer, that old pride sometimes. I think if he just said, Lord, by the grace of God, thank God, I ain't had no tickets, I think God would have been okay with that. No, he just wouldn't say it. The guy said, by the grace, he said, I'm a good driver, I'm not going to get no tickets. Got 6 of them 1 week. That wasn't bad enough, Brother Zito. After he got that 6th ticket, he worked for Meredith Lumber driving a truck. And Mike was a great witness, and he witnessed everybody over there. He bugged them to death, man. Mike was one of these kind of guys. He wouldn't take no for an answer. And after he got that 6th ticket, Brother Chris, he was by one of the trucks over there, and he didn't know, but some of the guys were over there on the other side, and he was mad. He kicked and said a few cuss words come out of his mouth loud. And they heard it, Miss Samantha. You know what they did. You call yourself a Christian, you've been witness to us, and you talk, you say, what was that? You see that heifer inside you that lacks a conscience of right and wrong. If you don't keep it under, it'll just turn loose. And I remember he come home that night crying and weeping, saying, I've destroyed my testimony. All that work I've done witnessing it. That quick, he said, I blew it. And he did. He blew it. That heifer, it lacks conscience. I mean, there's no sense in right and wrong. You don't care about your walk with the Lord. You don't care about your testimony. The heifer wants what it wants in your life. Look at Judges chapter 14, where we're at, verse 15. Look what it says. You see, that heifer will plow through your life like a hot knife through butter, and it'll wreck through everything. It has no remorse. It has no conscience. Verse 15, it said it came to pass on the seventh day that said in that Samson's wife, entice thy husband. You know who that was? That was his wife. He just got married. They were still at the feast of the marriage right there in that chapter. He just got married. They were still on kind of the honeymoon, Miss Amasa. And already his heifer was ready to sell him out right there. They said to her, they said, listen, if you don't tell us, we're going to burn your house down. You know what I'd have done if I was her? I was thinking about that, Miss Karen. Samson was a bad dude. He killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. He ripped a lion with his bare hands. I'd have said, honey, come in here for a second. They got something they want to tell you. Now, y'all tell him what you're going to do and tell him about it. He'd have whooped the whole crowd. You see, she had a way out, but I'm going to tell you about that heifer. It lacks a conscience. It'll destroy your testimony, destroy your life if you don't watch it. Yeah. It lacks conscience. There's no right and wrong with it. I'll tell you something else about that heifer, that besetting sin. It likes control. Likes to control your life. You ever notice that? Mm-hmm. That besetting sin that does so easily beset us. That word beset means to capture. It means control. And that heifer in your life, it likes to control you. And he came to that verse 15 and it said, and they pressed the seventh day and said to Samson's wife, entice thy husband. The word entice, it means to tempt, incite, to urge or lead astray. That heifer in your life, it'll entice you. Because you know what it does? It likes to control you. Look at verse 16. The Bible said verse 15. Look at verse 15. It came to pass on the seventh day, they said to Samson's wife, entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, that we burn thee in thy father's house with fire. Have you called us to take that we have? If not so. And Samson's wife wept before him. Woo! She wanted control, didn't she? You know what that heifer wants? It wants control. It'll do whatever it can to take over your life. She got down there and wept, and the Bible said she lay sore on him a little bit later. She cried those big old crocodile tears. I looked up that crocodile tears. I didn't know what it meant. I've heard it. Here's what it means. Crocodile tears are a false, insincere display of emotion, such as a hypocrite crying fake tears. That's what she was doing. Amen. And they said the phrase, get this, the phrase derives from an ancient belief that crocodiles shed tears while they're consuming their prey. And it said, actually, when crocodiles eat, they lubricate their eyes as they're eating, and their tears come down their eyes. That's where it came from. And that's a pretty good definition. Like a crocodile, Samson's wife was shedding tears while she was devouring her prey. Just like a crocodile, wouldn't she? She was over there enticing her husband and tricking her husband and all that. And the whole time she's over there wept 7 days, man. I couldn't have took that either, Brother Zito. Brother, I'd have gave her the riddle the first day, probably. He held out a lot longer than I did. But I want to tell you, that old heifer, it lacks a conscience and it likes control. It knows how to get hold of you. Yeah. That verse said it does so easily beset us. It likes to control us. It knows what buttons to press. It'll literally just plow through your life. That easy. It's amazing how it'll do it. Take your Bible, turn to Psalms 19. Get Psalms 19 and get Proverbs 7 while you're there. Psalms 19. You know what that old heifer do? It lacks a conscience. It don't care about your testimony. It don't care about your family. It don't care about anything. It wants control. It lacks a conscience, but boy, it likes control. It wants to get hold of you. And it knows how. It'll plow through your life. It's plowing my heifer. That's what it does. It plows through your life. Look at Psalms 19 verse 13 says this. It's that presumptuous sins. You know what the word presume means? It means you're going to do them. That's what it means. It means that these are the sins that you just cannot get victory over. And David said in Psalm 19:13, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin. That's that heifer in your life, see? That's that one. It said, let them not have dominion over me. Look at it. Then shall I be upright and I shall be innocent. Watch it. Look at those last three words. The great transgression. You see, that's that big heifer in your life. That's that one, that great transgression, brother, that'll take over your life and control you if you're not careful. Samson was the strongest man that ever lived. That dude was strong. Look, in Judges chapter 14, it said a young lion warred against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. A lamb. A lion, brethren. It said over in Judges 15:15, he found a new jawbone of an ass, and he put forth his hand, and he took it, and he slew 1,000 men with it. That's a bad dude. But I'm going to tell you, when he came to his heifer, he was a little baby. Couldn't handle that heifer, could he, Miss Liz? You see, I've seen a lot of strong men in the Lord. I've seen a lot of them fall big time. You say, why? That heifer just plowed through them. One of the great preachers of my generation was a guy named Bob Gray, Jacksonville, Florida. Started Bible school down there, a great church down there. One of the greatest preachers of my generation. He preached either, I can't remember, it was my graduation or hers, PBI. Bruckman didn't let many people preach Bible Baptist Church. And Bob Gray, he let Bob Gray preach. Him and Bob Gray were great friends. Bob Gray preached a message, Strengthen the Things That Remain. I can still remember. It was a great message. He pastored that church down in Jacksonville, Florida, First Baptist. He ran a big school down there, a big Bible school. When I was in Bible college, he left his school and surrendered and resigned his pastor and surrendered the mission field over to Germany. We thought, well, glory to God, that guy's he sold out to God, man, gave all that up going to Germany. Well, he wasn't quite so innocent after we found out about 10 years ago. Come out, he'd been molesting some of the kids there in school, Brother Chris. There's this great preacher, this great man of God, and where the school and the church didn't want to deal with it, they decided we'll just ship that dude overseas and get him out of here. And it was years later that he got arrested, and I remember seeing him on the news. Here he was, that great preacher, that man of God that used to stand up in the pulpit, man, breathe fire down there, and I've seen him come to the altar, and they had him handcuffed carrying him out. He looked like a poor, decrepit old man. He died in prison about a year later. You say what he say? He is saved. You say what he called to preach? He is called to preach. You say what happened? He couldn't handle that heifer in his life. You see, that heifer, it lacks the conscience. It'll destroy your church, destroy your life, and it likes control. It'll take over your life. Jack Schaap, pastor of First Baptist in Indiana over there. He was a president over there of Hiles Anderson Bible School. Jack Hiles' son-in-law. I've told you that. He's in prison right now for 10 years for messing around with a 17-year-old girl. See what happened? Plow with his heifer. You see, these men are great men. They loved God. They were strong at times. They preached. You say, well, just like Samson. That old heifer likes control. Look at Proverbs chapter 7. I just read this yesterday, the seventh day of the month. Proverbs 7 says this, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinsman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman. Solomon ought to know about that, shouldn't he, Brother Z? He had about 1,000 wives, and they took him out of God. from the stranger which flatters with her words. From the window of my house I looked through my casement, and behold, among the simple ones I discerned from among the youth a young man void of understanding. The devil always looks for the most vulnerable. Passing through the streets near the corner, she went her way to the house in the twilight, in the evening, in the back. You say, what is this? This is a heifer right here is what this is. This is a heifer trying to plow. And behold, verse 10, there met her a woman with a tire and a harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, the feet abide not in her house. Now she was out not in the streets and lieth in wait of every quarter. So she caught him and kissed him. And with the impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Come down to verse 18. Come, let us take our fill of love into the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love, for the good man, her husband, is not at home. He's gone on a journey. It's like that heifer. She lacks a conscience. She said, my husband's gone. Hey, come in here and let's have our love a fill until the morning. Entices that young man. Look at verse 26, 25. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, and go not astray to her paths. Watch it. For he has cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. You say what he said? I'm telling you, that heifer, it lacks control. I don't care how strong you are, how big you are. You may be the strongest man in the world like Samson. You may be a great preacher like Bob Gray. But if you're not careful, that heifer will plow in your life because it lacks conscience. It don't care about you. It don't care about your family. It don't care about your testimony. And I tell you, it lacks control. It likes to take over your life. I'll tell you something else it likes. Look at Judges chapter 14. That old heifer, it likes control. It lacks a conscience. And I'll tell you something else it does. It lays concealed sometimes, see. You think you got it whipped. And brother, you think when things are on top of the mountain, you know, and things are going round, and brother, it's just God, the honey's dripping from heaven, and you got it going, you know what happened a lot of times? The heifer will show up. Look at Judges chapter 14. Samson just got married. Judges chapter 14, verse 10. So his father went down to the woman, and Samson made a feast for so used the young man to do. And it came to pass, and they saw him, they brought 30 companions, and he went through the riddle. And you know what's going on. Verse 15, it came to pass the seventh day, they said to Samson's wife, entice thy husband, that he may declare us the riddle. And we burned him. Come down to verse 17. And she wept before him the 7 days while the feast, look at it, while the feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that, hey, they were having a great time. The guy had just been married. They were having a marriage feast. I mean, Samson was feeling good. Man, he is sitting there at the feast, Brother Z, and he is sitting back and he said, hey guys, listen, I got a riddle for you. Hey, that's no big deal. Nothing wrong with a riddle. He said, I got this riddle. And he told that riddle to him, you know, and said, you give me 30 pieces of clothes, I'll give you 30 pieces. Wasn't a big deal. Until that heifer got involved, see. See, that heifer lay concealed in your life. Sometime, brother, you may be feasting on the Word of God. You may be feasting like that song, I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. Praise God. I'm drinking from a fountain that never shall run dry. I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply. I'm dwelling in Beulah land. And boy, man, you're just, God's all over you. And about that time, here she comes. Here comes a heifer, just kind of walks in your life. Say, hey, listen, sister, let me tell you about this. Hey, brother, let's get down and talk about this. Hey. So what is that? That's that old heifer. She'll lay concealed and chill a lot of times. And brother, she'll just show up. You think, man, I'm doing pretty good. I about got this thing whipped. I've been feasting with God.
Yeah.
And she'll just step in your life. You know, most of the time I find that, I got a whole message on that. About then came Amalek. Go over and read that about Amalek over there. Every time Israel wins a battle, the Bible says, then came Amalek. Amalek's a picture of the flesh, by the way. Every time you get on the mountain and get willing, you know what? Heifer show up. Mm-hmm. She lays concealed. Amen. She lays chill. Samson's over there, just got married. He's all excited about it. Miss Samathy having a great feast, laying around with some of his buddies. He starts telling them a little riddle, no big deal. And next thing you know, they get the heifer involved. That old heifer lacks a conscience. She don't care. That old heifer, it likes control. It'll take over your life. She just wept and wept and wept. Said, "Oh, you don't love me." Don't fall for that, guys, okay? Don't fall for that one. I'm going to say it, heifer. Not only does it lies control, lays conceal. I'll tell you something else about that heifer. It loves contentions in your life. That old heifer, it'll argue and bug you and bother you, just like that lady did. Samson's wife. It says she wept before him for 7 days while their feast lasted. It came on the seventh day that he told her because she lay sore upon him. The heifer don't give up. It just keeps coming and coming. The Bible says she lay sore upon him. Yeah. About the time you think you may have victory, there's that heifer. That old easily that sin that does so easily beset us. You think, man, I got victory, I got it made. Don't count on it. Even the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Temptation, the Bible said the devil departed from him, what? For a season. He wasn't gone. He wasn't gone. It said over in Genesis chapter 2, it said sin lies at your door. I preached about that. And sin never leaves. It's just waiting for you to open the door. It'll knock and knock and knock. It's like that heifer. And heifer, it loves contention. It loves to bug you and get you going. Over there in Judges chapter 16, flip over to Judges 16 real quick. That heifer, that besetting sin in your life, it don't normally quit till it gets its way. It loves contentions. It loves a battle. It loves to get your mind playing. Loves to get your mind jumping up and down. It loves to get your spirit uneasy, all those kind of things. That heifer, it loves contention. Look at Judges chapter 16. Here's another heifer. Her name's Delilah. I preached about Samson a bunch of times. I preached him down there at the mission, you know, and I said, you know what Samson's weakness was? I preached on his strength, his weakness in women. I said, you know what a lot of you guys' weakness are? They go, women! Samson, never learn. I tell him, guys, I said, we can't live with them, we can't live without them, can we? Can't figure that thing out. As old Samson, he got over there to Delilah, he done got in trouble with his wife over there, Judges 16, look at verse 15. You know about that deal. She's trying to find the secret of his strength. In verse 15, she said unto him, here's the same old thing. How canst thou say, I love thee? Isn't that what his wife said? Oh, how can you say you love me? Watch that, guys. How can you say I love thee when thy heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times. And now where thy great strength lies? And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. You know what that heifer does? It loves contention. It'll just keep coming and keep coming and keep pressing and keep pressing. And brother, it just kept. And he broke and told her all his heart. You know what happened? See, the heifer, it lacks a conscience. Not interested in right and wrong. It likes control. It lay concealed. And it loves contentions. It loves to get you all bent out of shape, doesn't it? It loves to just come on and come on and vex and vex and vex and vex and vex. Now I want to give you one more thing about that heifer. It lacks conscience. It likes control. It lays concealed. It loves contentions. One last thing. That heifer, it leaves casualties. It leaves casualties. Look at Judges chapter 14. When that heifer goes through and plows through your life, friend, it leaves a row of casualties along the way. When Samson got over there and started playing with his heifer, and he said, unless you plow with my heifer, you'd never know. And he played around with that. Look at Judges 14. Verse 18. Judges chapter 14, verse 18. The men of the city said on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion? And he said to them, if you have not plowed my heifer, you have not found out my riddle. Look at verse 19. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled and he went to his father's house. After the heifer got through, Samson went and killed 30 innocent men and robbed them. What he did? He went out there and killed 30 men and took their clothes. There's the heifer always leaves casualties. Look at the next thing he did. And it said he went up to his father's house. He got mad at his wife and went to her house, went to his father's house and left his wife. Look what the next verse says. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom used to be his friend, who is used as a friend. Samson got mad and split from his wife, killed 30 men, stole their clothes. Then he went to his house, his father's house. He got mad at his wife and split her, and her wife's father gave her to another man. You see, that heifer, it'll leave casualties along the way. Look at Judges 15. Judges chapter 15, and it came to pass within after a while in the time of wheat harvest that Samson visited his wife with a kid and said, I will go into my wife and into the chamber, but his father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hast utterly hated her, therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? I pray thee, take her. And Samson said concerning them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. And the Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands and turned tail to tail, put a firebrand in the midst between the two tails. And when he had set the brands on fire, he sent them through the standing corn of the Philistines and burned up the shocks and also the standing corn, the vineyards and olives. When the Philistines said, who hath done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion and watch it. And the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. You see, when they plowed with that heifer, 30 people died. He left his wife, and then his wife and her dad was burnt with fire. You say, why? All because plow that heifer. Because you know what the heifer does? It leaves casualties. Over there in Judges chapter 16, you know what happened to Samson? Over there, Delilah, when they found out the inner of his strength and he told Delilah all his heart, the same thing as he did over there. The Bible said the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, and he did grind. They bound him, and they bound him with fetters of brass, and they put him in the grind in the prison house. So who was that? That was the strongest man that ever lived. Put his eyes out, Brother Zito. Bound him with fetters. Brass is not that strong. Put him in that grinding house. Put you that wheel grinding through that thing. You see what happened? You see when that plow of the heifer leaves casualties along the way. It never comes in the way it came. I can tell you so many Christians I know and preachers. I'm talking about Christians that knew God, man. I'm talking about Christians, man, that are on fire from God. One of the best track ministries I've ever seen in my life was a guy, I can't think of his name now, but I talked to him quite a bit when we first started getting our track ministry. He had one going. He pastored a church up in Ohio. And man, people were getting saved. Brother Zito and Brother Chris, man, that church was booming. And he'd call me, we'd talk, and we'd rejoice and get excited. And I remember talking to Joe Cotton, I think it was Joe Cotton or Tim Wilson, one of these guys, up in Tennessee about 15 years ago, I guess it was, maybe 20. And we was talking. I said, man, that brother so-and-so mentioned his name. I can't remember that guy's name. I said, man, he's knocking it out of the park, man. That church is booming. That track ministry is booming. God's using him. He said, no, he's not, brother. Not anymore. I said, what's going on? He said, he's in prison. I said, what? Are we talking about the same guy? He said, that's him. I said, what's wrong? He said, he couldn't leave them little girls alone. They got him in prison. So what happened? Plow with his heifer. See, people got things in their lives you just don't know sometimes. And a couple of things here and a couple of decisions here and a couple of turns here. Because I'm going to tell you, that heifer, it lacks a conscience. It don't care that that preacher's in prison. It could care less. It don't care that he runt these kids like. It don't care. It don't care that he destroyed the church and destroyed his family. It don't care. I've been down there, Jimmy Hill Mission, many times. I was down there one time, a young man, a man came to me, a pastor of Carbon Hill Baptist Church. Came down there, Brother Zito, crying.
lost his church, his family, lost his family, his wife's divorced him, his kids are estranged from him. You say, why? Pornography. Pornography. You say, what was it? Heifer. That heifer in his life. Had a fellow down there, a black man down there, Jimmy Hale Mission, came in when I preached one time. He was a nice-looking black man, had a $1,000 suit on, you could tell. Had some of them old $500 wingtip shoes, man. Came up to me and said, "Preacher, I used to pastor one of the largest black churches in this city." He said, "I know every one of these guys. They've been to my church." He said, "I pray with a lot of them." I said, "Man, what in the world are you doing down here?" He said, "Pornography. Pornography." You say, "What? Heifer! Those things in your life that grab hold of you. Brother, when it gets through, it lacks a conscience. It lacks control. It lay concealed. And I'm going to tell you, when it gets through, it'll leave casualties all over the place, man. We don't watch that thing." Gave you that news article a couple of weeks ago, that pastor in Georgia. Been pastoring a King James Bible Believing Baptist Church 20 years. I looked it up on the internet. He's in prison right now for molesting 8 kids. So how can a guy do that, preacher? That heifer in his life. You see that thing in his life? It lacks control. It lacks a conscience. It lays concealed in there, and it'll leave a casualty if you're not careful with that thing. And it loves contentions. It'll keep battling and battling and battling and battling to the day you die. Never quit. It'll never quit. I could go on and on. I got a good friend of mine, a preacher friend that I love a lot. My wife knows what I'm talking about, but he had a really good church across town years ago, doing really well for the Lord. And he had a heifer, a girl in his church. She's a heifer. She wasn't big. She was a nice looking young girl. And she enticed him in the office one time. And then she bragged about it. And he told me later, he said, I knew I was in trouble. Guys, don't ever get along with women. Take the Billy Graham rule. Billy Graham's rule, Mike Pence rule uses now. You don't go any place alone with another woman. Make sure somebody else is there. And she enticed him, that heifer did. And it was a one-time deal. Then she bragged about it to people. Fella lost his church, Miss Carol. Good man, good man. Loves God. My wife knows what I'm talking about. He's pastoring now again. This was quite a few years ago. He liked to kill him. He lost that church. His wife left him. A few months later, Brother Zito, his 16-year-old daughter, was skiing down to Smith Lake and ran into another boat and killed her right in that same time. All that stuff happening in his life. So what does that have to do? It'll leave casualties. So that guy could never, ever, and I've talked to him, he could never, ever, 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 ever go back and put that genie back in the bottle. No way. No way. Now he's remarried. He's done good. I encourage him. He remarried and he's pastoring a church now. Got out of that. But I'm going to tell you, brother, the casualties he left behind, that little one little 15-minute deal, left a lot of casualties in his life, man. Destroyed it. So what are you saying? Don't plow with that heifer. When that heifer shows up like it did with Samson both them times, Samson should have got away because he knew exactly what they were after. Let's bow our heads for prayer tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the sword of the Spirit that you've given us, that and the shield of faith, Lord, and all these weapons you've given us to quench the fiery darts of the wicked ones in this flesh. And you said, crucify the flesh with affections and lusts thereof. And all these things, God, and help us to do it. We know, God, that the sin that just easily beset us can take us out. I don't know what it is. And these people's lives, they know. They know, Lord. And they know how to accept. They know it wants control. They know it lacks a conscience. Has no right and wrong. These things in our lives, Lord, and a lot of big men, a lot of great men, a lot of great women have fallen, a lot of homes busted up. I could have given many examples of these things, Lord. A lot of them just totally ripped. Plow with that heifer. Those things in our lives, God, like Samson, he kind of toyed with it, played with it both times. He shouldn't have played with it, Lord. Help us not to play with it. Help us to realize, God, to get in the Word of God, get that victory, get that strength that only comes through you, Lord. Lord, we love you tonight. We pray for our revival coming up. Pray for Brother Earl. Pray, Lord, you give them the messages that we need to hear, Lord, and speak to us. And pray, God, we could really get a revival, Lord. I mean a real revival, Lord, an individual revival in our lives, God. Pray your blessing upon the week now coming up. Lord, I just love you. And you know it, Lord. You know what's in my heart. The words are not there, Lord. And I just love you, Lord. And I love this little church, Lord. Love a place to preach. Love a place to come and sing and lift you up and praise you and hear good preaching like Brother Chris, like that I heard last week, and just the things, God, and have men like Brother Earl Ankrum to come in and Tommy Tillman and be able to support these men and the Cleghorns, Lord, and Odell, some of these men, God, that are doing something for you and working hard, and Brother Danny, Lord. Pray your blessing upon the week, Lord, this week, God, and just give us souls. Show us and open some doors, Lord God, and just help us to be faithful when we leave that door, Lord, to witness and lift you up. We love you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.